on a Larry King special a few months ago, religious leaders representing major branches of Christendom in our country were discussing the issue of heaven. And what really amazed me was once again that prevalent American attitude was manifest. Well, as long as we're all sincere, we all hope to get there. There was one man there who was the president of the Southern Baptist Seminary. And he said, well, no, Larry, that's not quite right. In a very nice way, very kindly, he made it very clear that Yeshua, our Lord Jesus, said that except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That immediately got the others roused up. After all, the Islamic world says if you're a suicide bomber and can kill at least one Jew, you go instantly to heaven and have 70 wives. That to me would be a punishment, but anyway, that's what they say. And it's incredible what the world is saying about heaven, like somehow all roads lead there and we'll all get there. And the ignorance about the place we all say we want to go is incredible. Absolutely alarming. Our world is really messed up. Yes, the Christian world is messed up. This is not our home, according to the Bible. But boy, you wouldn't know it by looking at the way people do things, would you? I mean, we act like this is it. Maybe it's a new home or a new car or a career or something else you're trying to do. But the fact of the matter is, you would not think that Paul's heart was in ours when he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For to be with Christ is far better. So let's just talk for a moment about heaven. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 21. We don't need to remain in confusion on this issue. The Bible is filled with information about heaven. As a matter of fact, the word heaven appears 582 times in the King James Bible. The plural heavens, plural, another 133 times, making a total of 715 times in the Bible speaks about heaven. The Hebrew word shamayim is used 458 times. The Greek word uranos, another 288 times. This is a huge subject. The phrase the kingdom of heaven, 32 times in the New Testament, interestingly, all in the book of Matthew. The phrase the kingdom of God, another 69 times, 53 of those in the Gospels, and usually said by our blessed Lord Jesus. It's fascinating to me what the Bible says about heaven. Revelation 21, do you have your Bibles? We're going to read a portion of God's Word concerning heaven. The Bible says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, and you probably think you escaped, but the next one got you, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials or bowls full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, probably a diamond, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, 1,500 miles. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Apparently either a pyramid or a cube. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh a chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And all God's people said. That was very weak. I know it's early. And all God's people said. Better sound it forth if you're the one that intends to go there. Let God know that you are thankful for what he said about heaven, because it sure makes this crummy earth fade into insignificance. Will you join me, please, in a moment of prayer? Father, we thank you for this marvelous passage describing the heaven that you have prepared for us. And I know, Lord, that words, especially in English, are extremely inadequate to express the glory and the majesty and the beauty of what awaits us there. I know that you told us, Lord, that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most to be pitied. Thank you that there's hope beyond the grave. Thank you that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to run away from. And I pray, Lord, that everyone here will know in their hearts that if they should die this week, that they would be with the Lord. We thank you, and it's in the wonderful name that is above every name, the name of our Messiah, our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, one of the first problems that we have in looking at heaven in the Bible is that we've got more than one. There are many false cults and religions that add a few extras. There's only 3 heavens and only one is the one we're talking about today. We know this from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 to 4, where it refers to one caught up to the third heaven in verse 2. By the way, in verse 4 of that passage, it calls it paradise. It leads us to conclude the following. The first heaven, according to the Bible, is the atmosphere around the earth. It's called the firmament, the expanse of sky in Genesis 1:8. It's the place where birds fly, Genesis 1:20. The Bible is clear. It's in the heaven. It's the first heaven. The second heaven also is very clear in the Bible. It appears to be stellar space, where we find the following items according to the Bible. The sun, the moon, and the stars. So it's at least several thousand light years away. In terms of our own galaxy, there's apparently millions of stars, and we're only one of many galaxies. But all of these are in the second heaven, according to Genesis 1, 14 to 18. In chapter 15, verse 5 of Genesis, Abraham was told, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you can." Psalm 19, 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament," or the expanse, "shows the work of his hands." But what we're interested in is the third heaven. Paul called it paradise. The Bible also calls it the dwelling place of God, interestingly. In Psalm 115, verse 3, it says, "God is in the heavens." Psalm 14, 2 says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men." In Psalm 103:19, it says, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven." In Revelation 4, verse 1 and 2, "A door was opened in heaven, and there was a throne upon which God the Father sits, with the Son of God at his right hand." In Revelation 19:1, it says, "There was a great voice of much people in this heaven." Obviously, some folks are already there. Our future resurrection body in 2 Corinthians 5 is called a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Hebrews 12:22 says, "It is the city of our God." It is called the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, if you're taking notes, I'd like to give you seven things about heaven that I believe will encourage your heart, and perhaps, if it were possible, we could get a bus and go there now. Amen. First of all, according to the Bible, heaven is a city. It is a city. Why does God have cities on the planet? They are reminders that God has a city in heaven. According to the Bible, it was built by God himself. Well, after seeing what he did with the universe, it must be a spectacular place. It's a city that God builds himself, and it's the place where God the Father dwells at the present time. Psalm 48 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, the city of the great King." Hebrews 11:16 says of Abraham that it wasn't the land of Canaan only that he was after, but he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. The night before Jesus went to the cross in John 14, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." In my Father's house are many, what? You tell me. Mansions. Wow. In verse 10 it says, "He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Now, you might have seen the movie years ago called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. This gigantic city came down. Well, let me tell you, the dimensions of that city as pictured in the movie do not equal the dimensions of God's great city when it comes. Move over, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. This is going to be the most dramatic thing you have ever seen. And it's going to come out of the third heaven. That's what the Bible says. Incredible. It's a city built by God himself, and it's the place where God the Father dwells. The second thing out of these seven things I want you to know is it's not only a city built by God himself and where he dwells, but it's a city of enormous size and beauty. Revelation 21:11 says it has the glory of God. One day, Jesus on Mount Hermon, Israel's great and high mountain, the northernmost boundary of Israel, he took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, with him up into that high mountain. According to the Bible, he was transfigured, the Bible says, before them. There were brilliant rays of light that shot out from his body and blinded those three men. Actually, Peter was real excited to be there. He suggested that since Moses and Elijah showed up also, that they would build three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But there's no room in the Trinity, amen? So God just blasted them a little bit with his glory. And when they finally recovered, they saw no man but Jesus only. Wow. God made it very clear, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But the thing that's interesting to me is the Greek language deals with our DNA principle. And that is that the true DNA of Jesus was more than a mere man. Oh, he was all man. There's no doubt about that. But the Bible says he was God manifest in the flesh. According to the Bible, he pulled back the curtain of his flesh, how, I don't know, and allowed the glory of the incredible God who is light above all light to brilliantly display the glory and majesty of his own person. That was only a touch of what's coming. It has the glory of God, this incredible city. Just a few things about how enormous it is and how beautiful it is. According to the Bible in Revelation 21, 16, and 17, its dimensions can certainly handle all believers of all time. And we don't have to have a square foot of space. There's lots of room. And God has lots of room in heaven. Someone has said that there'll be more people in heaven than we ever thought possible. I'm not sure about that. I know we all want comfort. But Jesus seemed to indicate the opposite. Jesus indicated that the majority of people, when he comes, are going to claim to be his and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So Jesus made it narrow. He even gave the little story about broad is the way that goes to destruction, and many are on that road. But the one to heaven is straight and narrow, and there are few that go. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. I think we need some seriousness with what the Bible actually says. All the believers of all the ages can certainly fit into the dimensions of this gorgeous city. Why, the very length of it alone, 1,500 miles on a side, is incredible when you think of how gigantic it is. And it's just as high as it is on each side. If it's a cube, you can only imagine what's there. More room than anyone on this planet has ever had in a home, or in a business, or in a factory, or in a city. Unbelievable. It is a city of enormous size and beauty. Not only its dimensions, but the description of its beauty is dazzling beyond our ability to imagine it. In fact, the first time I ever went through Revelation, I went to a gemologist from Beverly Hills, whom I knew and had made his acquaintance in our ministry. And I went to him and described all that I knew, the background of the jewels and the gems that are mentioned in this chapter 21 of Revelation. There's some argument over the different jewels, but the ones that we are clear on even. I said, what would it be like if the walls were solid jasper, and we assume that's a diamond. A diamond's like a spectrum, as you know, when light goes through it. And it doesn't have any sun, moon, and starlight here. The Lord God is all the light we need, according to the Bible. Oh, by the way, that will help you solve a problem that evolution keeps bringing up. Hello? Is everybody with me? Say amen or nod your head so I know you're awake. Amen? Okay. Now, we have a problem in evolution. Why? They love to bring it up, that on the fourth day we have the sun, moon, and stars in Genesis 1, but on the third day we have plant life and trees bearing fruit after their kind. They say this is totally impossible because we have to have the sunlight in order to sustain vegetation. Well, that's because they didn't think it through carefully. Because on the first day, it says the Lord God said, let there be light, and there was light. God diffused light in the whole system at once out of his own person and character. There was no need for sun, moon, and stars. He designed those on the fourth day as signs and seasons, ways that we could count time and calls to worship. Very interesting, but we didn't need them for light. And in the future, we will have no sun, moon, and stars, as this passage in Revelation 21 tells us. The Lord God and the Lamb of God himself are all the light that we will need. And there's no night there. It's never dark because the Lord is the everlasting light. Amen? Wow, how beautiful that must be. Well, I asked this gemologist, I said, what if the light was as brilliant as there were no dark shadows anywhere? Because there's no night there at all. He said, well, that would be incredible, to say the least, right there. And what would it be like if all the light is so brilliant everywhere, there's no shadow anywhere, there's no darkness anywhere, what would that be? But anyway, I gave him a couple weeks to work on the project. He sends me a letter. He said, I have reduced the problem down to something in my laboratory, and what I have in my laboratory is so spectacular, I have to use special glasses to look at it. So he said, if this is really true, like the Bible says, we are definitely going to need an eye job. It's sort of like music, folks. God's into loud, so we do have a problem. 84 times in Revelation, it says the sounds in heaven are loud. Actually, the word is mega. They are so big and loud, it's unbelievable. But here's the good news. You're going to get new ears. Amen? You're going to be able to hear it. And what's more, you're going to have brand new eyes. It's beyond our ability to comprehend it. Heaven is not only a city built by God himself, it's a city of enormous size and beauty. Number three, the third thing I bring to your attention is that heaven is a place from which the Messiah came into this world. The place to which he descended was earth. What a bummer. Talk about humiliation. Talk about lowering yourself. He who is all light, King of glory, localized himself in a human body. God placed it in the womb of Mary. He was not a genetic result. We call it incarnation. We don't have to guarantee the sinlessness of either Mary or her mother, or her grandmother. That's ridiculous. Jesus is not the product of the chromosomes of either Mary or Joseph. For God placed him into that womb. A body had been prepared from all eternity, and God placed the body. We call it incarnation. God became flesh. It doesn't say he was flesh. He became that, which is a Greek word meaning a change of condition. He was not that before. He, the eternal Son of God, whose omnipotence and omnipresence and omniscience spreads all over the Bible. He who you cannot run away from. He who is everywhere at once. Localized himself in one little body, placed in the womb of Mary. And he grew up as what people thought was a normal human being. But he was more than that. He was God in human flesh. It's an incredible story. He who is above all, said John, has come down here. He has descended to this globe and planet. And why? The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He did it for you and he did it for me. And I remind you that this earth also was the place where he ascended right back to heaven. And that's where he is right now. And all those people who've told you stories about seeing him in their bedroom are lying. Either that or they ate too much chili. The fact of the matter is, he does not give any private visits. He is coming back one day at the timing of God Almighty, and he will not come to anybody until that day. What is he doing in heaven? The Bible said he's at the right hand of the throne of God. He is daily interceding for us. You can't beat having a prayer warrior like that. Amen? Jesus is praying for us every single day. In Acts 1, as the disciples were seeing Jesus ascend from the Mount of Olives. It says they were gazing into heaven. The Greek word is theater. It is not a simple look. It means they were straining their necks and couldn't take their eyes off of it. By the way, his ascent is described as being a slow process, not a fast one. He didn't all of a sudden say, see you guys later, boom, he's gone. No, he went up slowly. And these guys are watching him. I can see Peter punching John say, I think I see his feet right through those clouds, don't you? And all of a sudden, two men stood by him. It doesn't say angels, two men. Might have been the same two guys that showed up before. Might have been Moses and Elijah, who knows? Anyway, two men stand by them and say, you men of Galilee, why are you standing, staring with this unbelievable gaze into heaven? This same Jesus who has taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Wow, what an incredible story. And one day he's going to come. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, the Lord himself shall descend from where? From heaven. That's what the Bible says. In Revelation 19, when he comes to the earth to destroy all nations who have come against Israel, where does he come from? Out of heaven. Heaven is the place from which the Messiah came into this world, and it is the place to which he ascended, and it is the place from which he shall return. Number four, let me give you a fourth fact about the heaven we all say we want to go to. Heaven is the place from which angels come daily to take care of us. No, the Bible teaches that angels come and they minister to us. Hebrews 1:14, they are sent forth from heaven, from God the Father, to minister, to serve those who are heirs of salvation. People often say, do we have a guardian angel? Well, I think some of us need more than one. Amen? But yes, you do. As a matter of fact, the angel of the Lord himself encamps around those who trust in him, Psalm 34. How beautiful. See, I happen to believe that the angels are already here. They're spirit beings. They can take the form of human appearance, by the way. But they're here, and the Bible speaks about them. There's also demons or evil spirits. And there's a lot of fighting going on between the two of them that you and I can't see. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Things that believers say they believe, but they don't actually apply and understand. The fact of the matter is, you and I are going to go home to be with the Lord on time. And the angels are going to see to it that you don't die a day earlier. We're going to all die in time. The Bible says he knows the day you are born, the day you're going to die. He knows all the days in between. You're under divine appointment to die. Doesn't matter what the means are. Wow. We had a lovely funeral service for one of our Hope for Today volunteers. Their mother had passed away. And after the service, I was just fellowshipping with some people and standing between what were pews in this church. And a lady on the other side of the pew, who's in her 90s, was standing there. And she was a friend of the lady who had died. And she said to me, oh, she beat me to heaven. And all of a sudden, she went, ah, and fell over backwards. We thought she was gone. Some good CPR work was done, but looked like she was gone. Actually said when the paramedics came, it looks like she's gone. Well, they took her to the hospital. They had some life support system there. The family prayed about it, had some counsel, and said, well, it doesn't appear to be anything there, so you might as well take the system off. So the family, knowing her, that she loved the Lord, couldn't wait to go home to be with the Lord, they took the system off, thinking, no, this is it. Much to their utter shock and surprise, she revived. She came back. She looks great. And she said, I don't know why the Lord wants me to stay around here. I'm in my 90s. But it must be to tell folks about Jesus. That's all I can figure. So I'm going to do that until he takes me home. And by the way, if you're praying, don't pray that I stay here. I want to go home. I can imagine my husband, who died years ago, is wondering what in the world is going on. It wasn't my time, she said. When the breath of the Almighty is removed, says Job, then death will occur. But by the way, not extinction or annihilation of you. For your soul and your person is going to live forever. And according to the Bible, it'll either be in this wonderful heaven or it's going to be in this awful place God calls hell. One or the other. Heaven, according to the Bible, is the place where angels come down to take care of us. And literally, we're going to be in their hands when they take our soul and spirit into the presence of the Lord. There are wonderful things said in the Bible about these angels who come out of heaven. You say, well, how long does it take them to get here? Well, apparently not long. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is praying. And God sees his prayer and tells the angel, Gabriel, go down and touch him. And it's the same day and the same prayer. And the angel leaves the third heaven and gets to Daniel and touches him on the shoulder. So apparently they can travel at either the speed of thought or at least far faster than what we do. But where are they coming from? Out of heaven, says the Bible. Believest thou this? It's interesting what we're challenged to believe because of what the Bible teaches. Here's the fifth thing about heaven that I hope will be a blessing to you. Heaven, according to the Bible, is the place from which the Holy Spirit comes to help you make it through this crummy world of ours. Wow. John, who wrote Revelation, also wrote in his gospel, John chapter 1, verse 32 to 34, these wonderful words. I, John, bear record or testimony saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, not a dove, like one, and it abode upon him, that's upon Jesus, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I bear record, this is the Son of God. Luke's account says he immediately was full of the Holy Spirit and was led of the Spirit and with great power of the Holy Spirit performed many miracles. Heaven is the place where the Holy Spirit of God comes to help the believer. Can you imagine it? I don't know what you believe or you don't believe. According to the Bible, you must be born again by the Holy Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Spirit is the one who leaves heaven. He who is everywhere. For the Bible says in Psalm 139, how can I run away from the Spirit? If I ascend into heaven, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. There's nowhere you can run away from God, the Holy Spirit. But according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit leaves heaven and comes down here to indwell a bunch of creatures God made and helps them to make it through until they can get back up to heaven. Isn't that interesting? You see, you and I need heaven's help to make it through this crummy world of ours. As a matter of fact, we've got such bad potential attitudes within us that we often grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby we're sealed unto that day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit of God is trying to help us with those attitudes. Why we're so dangerous, in a moment of deep anger or resentment, we could actually kill somebody. People do it all the time. The Holy Spirit has been given to you, so you won't do it. It's very interesting. We want things that don't belong to us. We're jealous, we're envious, all of those things. And God sent the Holy Spirit out of heaven. I like what one writer says, the presence of the Holy Spirit is heaven in my heart. And that is very true. Number six, heaven is the place of rewards for the believer. The place of rewards. Very interesting passage in Matthew 5. We were just there on the Sea of Galilee at the Mount of Beatitudes, a beautiful setting, and I actually taught there on Matthew 5, 1 to 12, the eight Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of, you finish it, heaven. In the last one, he said the same thing, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in where? Newport Beach? Great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. The fact of the matter is the Bible always describes reward as being in heaven. The goodies are not now. The goodies are what are coming. Did you know that everything you've done in the Lord's name will be rewarded by God, including just a cup of cold water? Did you know that whatever you have done for the Lord, according to Jesus in Mark 10, the reward will be 100 times greater than anything you've ever done? Did you know that in Hebrews 6:10, the Lord says he will never forget your work and your labor of love that you've shown in ministering to the saints? Never. Everybody else may forget, and nobody may say thank you to you, but God has never forgotten. Oh, I should warn you about something. If you want people to recognize what you've done, then you have your reward. They recognize you. There's none coming. So don't get excited about having an awards banquet for you and how wonderful you are. Amen? Now, people do that. We're supposed to honor those who deserve honor. I understand all that. But we need to be careful. We might be blowing somebody's reward. All these wonderful rewards God's going to give us about things we've done that no one else knows. God will never forget, and you've never done anything that God doesn't know about. You might have just smiled at somebody who had a day like you can't believe and thought the day was over and they were gone. Yeah, I've seen that happen where somebody, just a sweet little smile, encouraged their hearts to take another step and you didn't even know what you did. Sometimes it's just a simple act that maybe came automatically out of a life of one who serves the Lord. But God never forgot, and the rewards are tremendous. In fact, when Jesus describes his second coming, it says, "Behold, I come quickly," says Revelation 22, "and my reward is with me." According to the Bible, there's at least five different crowns that God is going to give to the believer, and I know we cast these crowns at his feet when we see him, and that'll make it worth it all. But let's don't end it there. According to the Bible, during the millennial reign of Christ on the earth for 1,000 years, the Bible tells us he's going to reward believers with the opportunity to serve him. If you've been faithful in a few things, he'll make you ruler over all, more than you've ever seen. The fact of the matter is we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. God says over and over again, don't lay up treasures on earth, lay them up in heaven. Why? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, and God is going to reward us in heaven. And we will then know that we don't know now, it was worth it all to serve the Lord, no matter how people took it, no matter what they said. Well, let's go to number 7, and finally, the 7th thing about this wonderful place we called heaven is a city for believers only. There'll be no unbelievers there at all. But they were sincere. Well, you can be sincerely wrong. My favorite story on that happened at the Ohio State-Michigan game. I was living in Columbus, Ohio. I love to go to football. In fact, sometimes I think the only thing spirit-filled on television is Monday Night Football. But anyway, that's another issue. But I love watching football, and I had tickets to all the games on the 50-yard line, the second bench row from the field. I was so excited. My wife wasn't real thrilled because it rained or snowed every game. But anyway, and we were not under any shelter. I remember that last game. Some of you old hats here maybe have remembered that game. It was to determine the Rose Bowl, like so many of those games did. It was a blizzard. You couldn't see anything. My wife was begging me to leave, but it was 0-0. You cannot leave. We got to see who's going to go to the Rose Bowl. I don't think she cared. But anyway, she was hiding somewhere among all the jackets and clothes, and I'm watching this game. The final play of the game that decides the Rose Bowl happens right in front of me. You couldn't even see the scrimmage line, and the referees had to pull the guys apart, line it up, make sure they're sort of back from each other. It's a terrible blizzard. The ball is hiked. The quarterback loses it, as it happened throughout that game. It's a fumble. There's a massive bunch of bodies, and all of a sudden this guy comes out of it with the ball in his hand, running all by himself to the goal line to score the winning touchdown that sent his team to the Rose Bowl. There's just one problem. He ran the wrong way. Scored a touchdown for the other team, and they went to the Rose Bowl. Now, I want you to know, I was there. He was very sincere. Well, why would God send people to hell? They're so sincere. I mean, okay, so they do religion differently, but why would he? Wait a minute. If you and I got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell. What do you think? People are in neutral gear and God decides this one goes to heaven, that one goes to hell? Some people think that. You're not in neutral gear. We're all headed towards hell. We're selfish. We're sinful. We do what we want to do. We don't care what anybody says. And we think we're the master of our fate and the captain of our soul. Like we're in charge? Think again. God's in charge. You're not calling the shots. God is. And many people think that if you're just sincere, well, I know Mrs. So-and-so. She does so many good things. The Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags in his sight. And besides, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. Let me tell you four quick things, because our passage in Revelation 21 and 22 makes it clear that outside are plenty of people. They never got into heaven. Number one, according to the Bible, you must do more than merely profess that you're a believer. Listen to me carefully. This is what's wrong in the American culture. We're big on profession. Say the right words. Tell somebody you're a Christian. Sign the dotted line, and you're in the in group. No way. Jesus warned us over and over again about this. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. He told us that, again, as I said earlier, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, they profess to know him. And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you at all. Not I knew you once and you lost it, I never knew you at all. You just told people you were Christians. But that doesn't count with God. The second thing I learned, that heaven is a city for believers only, is not only must we do more than simply profess that we are believers, but we must be humble before God to the point of repenting of our sin. Pastor recently told me, he said, that's in the Old Testament, isn't it? Yes, it is, but it's also in the New Testament. Repentance is the first word of the gospel. It means turn away from your sin and to turn to God. And we don't hear that anymore. There are many groups in Israel right now with the name Shuvah. Teshuvah is a Hebrew word for repentance. They're calling on many Israelis to repent that God is our only hope. And you can understand why in the difficult circumstances they find themselves in, outnumbered 1,000 to 1. The fact of the matter is the military strategists tell us that Israel doesn't stand a chance. If there is a literal holy jihad of all their hostile enemies, Israel doesn't stand a chance. Well, guess again. The Bible teaches the Messiah will deliver his people from all the nations of the world who come against it. The fact that I'm telling you now is God told Israel they had to repent. In fact, in the future they will have to repent. They will look on him and they pierced and mourn for him. Jesus said, blessed are all they that mourn. It's talking about being sorry deeply for your sin, for it's against God. The true story of Jesus dying is not as an example, though it certainly was. The true story is in the gospel of our wonderful Bibles that says he died for our sins. Don't ever forget it. If we confess our sins, says 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Thank God for it. But so many people want to sweep their sin under the rug and somehow add Jesus to their life and think they're in the in-group. No way. Repent and believe the gospel. That has always been the gospel. It still is today. Jesus said, if you do not humble yourself as a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18. We better follow what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke 18, two men went up the temple to pray. One a Pharisee who kept saying, I thank you, Lord, I'm not as other men are. And a tax gatherer who had been cheating his own people and knew of his own sin, beat his breast and fell down before God and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said he went home justified. The other man's headed for hell. Oh yes, hell will be filled with religious people. Number three, if you want to be in that city for believers only that we call heaven, you must be born again. Jesus said in John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. And one other thing, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. And with this we conclude. Heaven is a city for believers only, and according to the Bible, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior from sin, death, and hell. He is the only one that can get you to heaven. There is no other way but Him. In John 3, 15, John chapter 3, verse 15, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In John 14, the night before he went to the cross, he said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said in Acts 4, verse 13, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There are not many roads to heaven. There's only one, and there's only one person who could ever take you there, and that is Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world. There is no other way. There is no other hope. I don't care how good people say they are or how religious they are. We have to be saved by believing in Jesus Christ alone. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are very much aware that we live in a culture that has easily passed over the truth of the Bible, acting like they know better. Lord, I pray that you would awaken us by your Holy Spirit, that people listening right now who know something's wrong inside. Sometimes we have our own religious questions and we think our intellect is more important, our reasoning is more significant than the simple, plain truth of the Bible that any child can receive. Everything that we have in life continues to build up within us to think that somehow what we know and what we've experienced is the truth. But we read in the Bible that the truth is your word, and that truth will set us free. You've asked us to believe what you said. You said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Help us to understand it, Lord. Help us to turn to Him who alone can save us before it's too late. Set us free and fix our hearts toward heaven, our real home. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.